I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Throughout today's broadcast, we will be marking a milestone. Now, we can debate whether this is a real milestone or just an invention of the media. Either way, we will be talking about the Obama administration's first 100 days in office. And as National Poetry Month comes to a close, we'll end the program today where this administration started, so to speak. We'll have a conversation with a poet who presented an original piece for President Obama's inauguration, Elizabeth Alexander. But first, the 100 days. The Obama presidency so far has been shaped by the knee tough issues, from the economy to national security. And President Obama has made some tough calls, like the decision to release previously classified memos about harsh interrogation methods authorized during the previous administration. And while a vocal chorus of conservative critics do not approve of Mr. Obama's policy direction, new polls suggest most Americans do. A new NBC Wall Street Journal poll shows that more than 60% of those surveyed approve of the job President Obama is doing. And on top of that, a whopping 81% of Americans say they like him personally. But is that enough to govern? Is he on track to accomplish his very ambitious agenda? Has he made any significant missteps? And if so, what are they? Throughout the broadcast, we'll be consulting with a diverse group of analysts who've been watching this new administration closely. Up first, Gwen Ifill, the host of PBS's Washington Week and a senior correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. She's also author of the New York Times bestseller, The Breakthrough, Politics and Race in the Age of Obama. Gwen Ifill joins us from St. Louis, where she's been reporting all this week. I'm also joined by Maria Elena Salinas. She's co-anchor of the Spanish language news program Noticiero Univision. She is a syndicated columnist. She is also an author. She's with us from Miami. Ladies, welcome to you both.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, it's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you both. Gwen, first to you, what do we know about President Obama as a leader that we did not know 100 days ago?
You know, it's been very interesting talking to people in St. Louis because we have lots of ideas about what we think America thinks, especially when we read polls. But, you know, the interesting thing is I discovered the polls were right, that a lot of people are fairly happy even if they themselves feel economically stressed. We talked to auto workers who've lost their jobs. We talked to people who've lost white-collar jobs. And they all say, well, I'm not very happy, and I know we had to dig ourselves out of this hole, but I think he's okay. And I'm talking about people who voted for John McCain as well as people who voted. This is the ultimate purple state, the only battleground state that Barack Obama lost in the general election. So there should be a lot of skepticism, but there are not. There's not. And I've been trying to get to the bottom of that and decide that it does come down to a question of leadership. People may not be happy with the amount of money he's spending. People may not be happy about bailing out what they consider to be the wrong people. But in the end, they seem to be, at least for the first 100 days, and maybe for the second 100, willing to say, but he seems like a credible leader to me. And that is calming down a lot of the criticism.
Maria Elena, many people forget this now, but at the beginning of his presidential campaign, Mr. Obama was not supported by a majority of African Americans and Latinos, who have, of course, become strong supporters now. But at the time, many people said they didn't know him that well, they weren't sure he was ready, that he seemed untested. And of course, others cited fear of failure, the fear that if he did not do well, that it would reflect poorly somehow on minorities in general. So I wanted to ask you, the incredible personal popularity that President Obama now enjoys, to what do you attribute that? Secondly, well, and do you think he's allayed fears about his core competence?
Well, I definitely think that there has been a major, major change in the attitude of Latinos toward Obama, and you're absolutely right. During the primaries, it was Hillary Clinton who had the majority of the support of the Latino community, and President Obama had, you know, even less than 20%, or Senator Obama at the time. But, you know, contrary to what many people thought, when things turned around and he won the primary, Latinos went for him, which showed that that was a rejection of the Republican Party. It wasn't only that they were supporting Hillary Clinton, but they were also supporting the Democrats. He ended up winning with 67% of the Latino vote, which was something very, very strong. I think he continues to have a positive image among Latinos. Remember that when it comes to economic issues, Latinos, as well as African Americans, are the hardest hit when it comes to unemployment, when it comes to low wages, when it comes to education. They are most affected, so they are very much aware that he can definitely make a difference. And remember also that there is a lot of concern about what happens in their country of origin for Latinos, many of whom are immigrants who have become naturalized citizens. And his standing, particularly during the Summit of the Americas, where he showed that he really is not going to ignore the countries to the south, but that he's ready to begin a completely new relationship, a relationship of respect with our neighbors to the south, I think also helps his image quite a bit and helps Latino immigrants to feel that their own families at home are going to be taken care of.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and we're talking about the first 100 days of the Obama administration. We're speaking with Maria Elena Salinas of Univision and Gwen Ifill of PBS. Gwen, one of the sort of the variations on the president's kind of stratospheric approval ratings is concern that he may be taking on too much too soon. In the NBC Wall Street Journal poll, 52% of those surveys said they think he may have taken on too many issues. On the other hand, voters say they want him to deal with health care. They want him to deal with the economy. How do you reconcile those competing objectives? And how do you think the president deals with that?
It's the other hand, which is always the one that grabs you, isn't it? I don't know. I think it's interesting. When I talk to people, they say, well, you know, I think he may be taking on too much, but I really do think he needs to fix this health care problem. Or you talk to someone else and they say, you know, I really do think he needs to fix this the problem with our public education. I don't hear anyone taking anything off his plate. People who say he's doing too much don't say what he should not be doing. And you can't help but think, once again, when you flip that upside down, that if there was something he chose not to do, that people would say he wasn't being very ambitious. One of the things about this administration, and it applies to the president and also to the first lady, I think, is that they take a long look at the way other presidents have functioned, and they say, okay, President Clinton had a lot on his plate, and he decided to do it serially, one at a time. But by the time he got to the third thing, which was health care in his case, he'd been knocked off his pins by other issues and defeats in earlier issues. So they decided they're going to take, and I talked to White House officials about this, they've decided they're going to take a hit. They're going to take it quick and fast and at least have something else to move right into the middle. So whenever they seem like they have a setback, the next day they have another subject to talk about. So that's also part of their thinking, which is just throw it all at the wall, see what sticks, even if you get 50% of 300 things, that's better than getting nothing of one or two things.
Is there a sense that this mandate won't last forever, that this mandate, whatever this personal popularity and enthusiasm and fear about the economy is bringing him, is there a fear that that won't last forever and they've got to do as much as they can do while they can?
Yeah, how could it? How could it? Honeymoons by definition. You're a married woman. Honeymoons by definition.
So true.
Americans people don't stay in love in that same, you know, non-questioning way forever. After a while, people begin to apply a lot of other demands and other standards to you. Now, he's doing, in some respects, surprisingly well, because people do seem to be giving him a lot of room to run. But with so many pressing concerns, it's hard to imagine how that could continue.
And Maria Elena, immigration is a pressing concern. Is there a sense of, in your reporting, you see the Latinos' concern and appreciating the president's outreach to countries south of the border and so forth, but is there a restiveness around immigration, a sense that he's not moving fast enough on this pressing issue?
And there's a desperation, I would say, about the immigration issue. But we have to remember that he did not have high expectations that there would be an immigration reform bill approved this year. He never promised that there would be in the first 100 days. As a matter of fact, he made it very clear that it was during the first year that he hoped to be able to start discussing the issue of immigration reform, and that hopefully, legislation would be introduced in the first year, but most possibly not approved in the first year. However, there are several Latino groups. Some of them are led by Congressman Luis Gutierrez from Chicago, that are hoping that it will be sooner. Now, one thing that we can see is that the immigration issue did take a backseat to the economy issue. And from last year to this year, there's been, you know, half of the amount of arrests on the border. Of course, a lot of immigrants are not crossing the border because of the immigration situation and the economic situation here and the very negative attitude towards immigrants that has developed in the last couple of years. But certainly, I think it's still on the radar. It's still definitely on the mind of the Latino voters, and it's definitely on the mind of the administration, who has brought up the issue a couple of times, but again, has not promised that anything can be done in the first year, especially with the climate right now, with the unemployment as high as it is. It would be a very hard sell to say we want to have guest workers that are immigrants when there's so many Americans that are out of a job.
And Gwen, finally, in the couple of minutes we have left to tackle this very sticky wicket of race. Many Americans heralded Obama's election as a watershed event in the country's history on racial issues. You've certainly done a tremendous amount of reporting on this point. The new New York Times CBS poll says that 2/3 of Americans say race relations are good. The percentage of African Americans who say this has doubled since last July. And yet, interestingly enough, we often, a lot of African-American intellectuals, and not just African-American, but other intellectuals, keep cautioning that it's too soon to call this a post-racial society and so forth. How do you assess that? How do you assess this question of how this president, this administration is changing the dialogue around race?
You know, I remember when the president gave his big Philadelphia race speech, he ended it by saying, we're going to have a big conversation about race in this country, and then he never talked about it again. In fact, if you brought it up, he would find some way to answer another question. He decided he was going to get elected by not talking about race. That said, what has happened is there seems to be a conversation going on, and the conversation is going on almost absent the president's participation. The reason why I think those numbers are changing, at least it seems to me, is because people feel better about themselves when it comes to race. They feel they have permission to have a conversation. It doesn't mean that we're through with the conversation. It doesn't mean we're past it. It doesn't even mean that that's a desirable thing to be past it. That's the whole thing about post-racial. People assume that means, okay, we've dusted our hands off and we don't have to talk about it anymore. I think it means we're beginning to talk about it. And when you begin to talk about it, people feel healthier about it, and that's what I suspect is being reflected in these polls.
And your book detailed the careers of other African-American politicians of his generation. How do you think that this administration's success or lack thereof might affect their futures?
Well, I think people are willing to separate those two things out. Certainly his appearance on the scene, his primacy as the leading politician in the country, black or white or anything, means that people cast a different light on other African-American leaders.
We have to leave it there. To be continued, I hope. Gwen Ifill is the host of PBS's Washington Week, and she's also a senior correspondent for the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. She's author of The Breakthrough, Politics and Race in the Age of Obama. She joined us by phone from St. Louis. We were also joined by Maria Elena Salinas. She's co-anchor of the Spanish-language news program Noticiero Univision. She's a syndicated columnist and author of I Am My Father's Daughter. She joined us from the Univision Studios in Miami. I thank you both so much.
Michelle, Gwen, thank you very much.
Thank
it was
you.
Great talking to you.